In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Thank you for having me in your house this morning.
Amen.
Welcome.
Father Stephen, I passed him on the way as I was coming in and he was going out. And I've known him for many years. I guess I should introduce myself a little bit. So, as Sister said, I'm Father Fisher. I was ordained in 1984 by St. John Paul II. So I'm a third-class relic. I'm originally from Columbus, Ohio, home of the Ohio State Buckeyes, for all of you who like Penn State. You have Penn State colors on. Yes, we take football very seriously in Columbus. I'm actually a priest. I know I'm the only African-American priest in the Eastern Catholic Church. When I was a seminarian in Rome, I came in contact with Orthodox Christians and Eastern Catholic Christians, and I changed rites from the Latin rite to the Maronite rite. So for years I've been in the Maronite Church, and but I've been in Philadelphia a couple times, teaching at Rosemont College, and taught a semester at Holy Family. I've been a professor most of my life as a priest. I've taught the University of Dayton, which is run by the Marianists, and Xavier University in Cincinnati, which is run by the Jesuits, and Rosemont. And then I was a pastor once. For 5 years, I was a pastor at our Maronite parish in Cincinnati. And then, unfortunately, I came down with leukemia. And I stepped down, but I didn't want to just sit there. So I came back to Philadelphia to teach again at Rosemont. And I live with my dear friend, Monsignor Brito. You should see when he and Monsignor Benz are together. And Gerard. That's a comedy show. So I've known Monsignor Brito for over 40 years. And so I help him out, and I still teach a class. And I help out at our Maronite. We have two Maronite parishes in Philadelphia, St. Marin's in South Philadelphia, and St. Charbel's in Newtown Square. But I promised not to say the Mass in Arabic this morning, so. My brothers and sisters, as we prepare to celebrate the sacred mysteries, let us call to mind our sins. Well, I'm sure as you know, in the way the Roman liturgy works, the Mass, that the first reading and the Gospel reading usually have a theme, and the second reading has a different theme. I guess it's so who's ever preaching has a choice, I don't know. But I think often as today, we can see that all three readings, while we could draw two different themes, but they have something, a common thread, if you will. Now first, you have to keep in mind, I think, and you may already know this, but since I'm a teacher, I have to teach, you know? when we read the scriptures, the oldest part is what? When we read the letters from St. Paul. The letters from St. Paul are as early as 42 A.D. So within 9 or 10 years of our Lord's crucifixion. And so when we read these letters, they give us an example and an insight into what the biblical primitive church was like and what its challenges were. So, for example, we see Paul is always challenged by people who were called the Judaizers. That is, Jewish Christians who wanted the Gentile converts to become Jewish as well as believing in Christ. Now, you have to remember, you can see why they felt this way, because at this time in history, Jewish Christians were not separated from the rest of Judaism. That doesn't happen until the Romans destroy the province of Judea. Jewish Christians still worshiped with their Jewish brothers and sisters, and then they worshiped with those who believed in Christ on Sunday. They were basically Messianic Jews. But when Paul, a Pharisee, sees the risen Lord on the road to Damascus, he realizes his calling is to go to the Gentiles. And he says, Christ has freed us from the law. And if you try to go and get circumcised, and if you try to do what we had to do, it's meaningless. The law was given to us, he says, for a reason. But Christ is the Savior of all, and you don't have to follow these laws. It would be meaningless. So he struggles with that problem. Also struggles with just the problem of trying to have Gentiles change their way of life, especially the Corinthians. Corinth was the Las Vegas of the ancient world. Everything happened in Las Vegas, happened in Corinth, and you didn't go home and tell anybody. And so we see the struggle to bring people to a certain ethical way of life if you believe in Christ. The Gospels, of course, are paramount. The Gospels are paramount in the Scriptures. However, they come chronologically after the letters of Paul. And it's important to remember that the Gospels are not written. St. Mark's Gospel is probably the oldest written, from about 70 AD, and then those following a little bit after. But in 70 AD, the Romans destroy the Jewish temple. And so when the gospel writers are writing their gospels, they see something cataclysmic in the history of the relationship of God and humanity. With the destruction of the temple, it's almost for them a certification that salvation is only through Christ and not through the worship and sacrifices of the temple. Now, in our first reading, therefore, it talks about the veil is lifted. The veil that's covered us has been lifted. What is that veil? It's the veil of ignorance. The veil of ignorance caused by our sin. The oldest definition of sin in the Bible is missing the mark. Missing the mark. Missing the mark of understanding who God is. Missing the mark of understanding what God wants from us. And missing the mark of how to put our heads and our hearts together to be totally for God. We think of sin as our sins we commit. But the sins we commit are only because of the veil of ignorance that causes us to miss the mark that God wants from us. Jesus Christ lifts the veil by his cross and resurrection. We can't understand who God is. We can't understand what God wants from us until we start first with our Lord's holy cross. The cross is what makes sense of the totality of our reality. When Jesus says on the cross, "It is finished," what is he saying? What's finished? What's finished is God's act of creating. Genesis says God created. It didn't say he finished. It said God created. But he created us to be his sons and daughters. But we miss the mark. And on the cross, Jesus says, "It is finished." That means God's creative act is finished. Through Jesus Christ, we can truly be the sons and daughters of God that God intended for us to be from the beginning of the world. With Jesus Christ on his holy cross, the veil is lifted. That's why we are all like the good thief. It's not that we're perfect, but the veil is lifted. We understand the way to God. We understand who is the Savior of the world. Amen. And like the good thief, we say, "Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom." And our Lord says, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." The gospel tells us today, however, that this is not just something that happens, that we push a button and God gives us grace, and then we can go do whatever we want. Today's gospel tells us that some may not come to the wedding feast dressed properly. That means they know who Christ is. They come to his banquet, but they decide, "I can't live like your follower." The wedding garments are the garments of our good works. We don't save ourselves through our works. But faith without works, what did James say? Faith without works is dead. We are his holy church. We are invited to the feast. Let us put on the garments and armor of salvation. Well done. Thank you again for having me into your home. I thank Father Thorne for inviting me, and thanks to your wonderful servers and every ministers and to the choir. Amen. Even though they're dressed like Penn State, I still love them. It should be scarlet and gray, but you know, in the Maronite liturgy, at the end of the liturgy, we say a prayer to the altar. The priest prays, "I don't know if I will be able to return to you again to offer another sacrifice, but guard your holy church." So I ask God to guard you, his holy church. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Mass is ended. Go in peace.